Amen. All right, well, we're there in the book of Titus, Titus chapter number 2. I'd like you to look down at verse number 3, Titus chapter number 2 and verse number 3. The Bible says, "The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things." Now, I want you to notice verse 4. It says that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. The Bible teaches us here that it is the job of the local church. Titus, the book of Titus, is written to a man by the name of Titus who was a pastor. This is what we refer to as the pastoral epistles. They're receiving instructions in regards to how to have a church, how to organize a church, the things that the programs that the church should have. And here, the Apostle Paul, of course, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, is teaching this young preacher Titus, and he's saying, hey, what you need to do in your local church is that you need to make sure that the younger women are being taught. And he says here, hey, a great place to start is with the aged women, with the older women. But the idea is, and we're going to come back to that concept of teaching and mentoring here in a moment, but I want you to focus in that the idea is that young women need to be taught to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. And he goes on there and gives us a list. And here's what I want you to understand. Motherhood in particular is something, in order to do it right, it has to be taught. You do not just... having a child doesn't make you a mother. Now, having a child, you know, of course, you're the mother of that child, but it doesn't mean you're going to do motherhood right. It doesn't mean that you're going to do exactly what it is that God wants you to do. These things don't come naturally to us. Now, some of them do and some of them should, but the Bible teaches that oftentimes mothers have to be exhorted. They have to be taught. They have to be, it has to be explained to them from the Bible what it is that is expected from them. And today, I want to do that. I want to talk to you mothers, those of you that are actually have children right now living with you at home. And I want to try to encourage you and I want to try to help you with some ideas of the things that you need to do to be a good mother. Maybe you're here this morning and you say, well, my years of motherhood have passed. So my children are now grown. They're no longer with me at home. But you are now in a different stage where you get to be the mother of adult children. And you know those adult children, those adult daughters are going to need somebody to help them along the way when they start having children. You may have grandchildren that you can mentor and that you can minister to. Whatever it is, whatever stage of life, I want to speak to the mothers this morning in regards to how to do motherhood. Now, keep your place there in Titus. We're going to come back to Titus chapter number 2, but I'd like you to go with me to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter number 31. And if you open up your Bible just right in the center, you'll more than likely fall in the book of Psalms. And right after Psalms, you got the book of Proverbs. While you go there, I want to read to you from Ecclesiastes chapter number 4 and verse number 12. You go to Proverbs 31. I'll read for you from Ecclesiastes 4:12. Ecclesiastes 4:12 has there's a famous verse here. And it says this, if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. I think it was last year I was reading a time management book, and I've shared this with you before, but I was reading a time management book, and in that book it said that in every area of our lives, the writer, the author of that book was saying, in every area of our lives, if you look at it closely, whatever areas you have, whether it's being a mother, whether it's being a wife, whether it's being a husband, being a father, whether it's your job, you know, whether it's being a pastor, in every area of your life, if you look at it closely, you can probably break down three necessary things that you need to do in those areas to be successful. This was a time management book, and they're teaching this concept that you need to figure out the three necessary things in every area of life that you need to accomplish to be successful in those things. And honestly, if everything else doesn't get done, don't worry about it. Just focus on those three things. And I thought that was interesting when I read that because of the verse that I just read to you, because the Bible says a threefold cord is not quickly broken. And I thought that's a good concept, that there probably is just three things in every area of life. And again, I've shared this with you. I went through, I put the book down and I went through and I started writing down the different areas of my life. And I started trying to figure out what are the three things that I need to do in my life to be successful. I wrote down as a husband. And here's what I figured out. I figured out as a husband, if I can love my wife, if I can lead my wife, and if I can be loyal to my wife, I'll probably be successful as a husband. I found that as a father, I wrote these things down. If I can disciple my children in the things of God, if I can discipline my children properly, and if I can help them develop in their maturity, I'm probably going to do okay as a dad. As a pastor, I found if I can help reach people, if I can help teach people, and if I can help keep people, I'll probably be successful as a pastor. And in your life, in your career, you can probably, if you're a business owner, you can probably think of three things. If I can do these three things, I'll probably be successful in life. Because the Bible says, if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. So this morning, what I want to do is I want to give you mothers three things that you must do in order to be a successful mother. I want to give you the threefold cord of motherhood. Because here's the thing, being a mother is a lot of work. And it requires a lot of time. And oftentimes what I've noticed with mothers is they put a lot of expectations on themselves. I mean, you've got to homeschool the kids, you know, for those of you that homeschool. You've got to get them connected in this activity and in that activity. You've got to be connected into church. Of course, we understand that. You've got to have your house clean, and you've got to do this, and you've got to do that, and you've got to make sure. And sometimes there's these expectations that moms put on themselves, and it makes it very difficult because they feel like they're failing. And this morning, all I want to do is I just want to give you three thoughts. I want to give you three areas that you can wake up every day and just ask yourself, if I can put a check mark next to these three things, I will have the threefold cord of motherhood that will not easily be broken. So I want to share those with you this morning. If you'd like to take notes, I'd like you to write these statements down, especially you mothers. We're there in Proverbs 31. Now, Proverbs 31 is a famous proverb about the virtuous woman. And Proverbs 31 deals a lot with womanhood in general, not just motherhood, but also being a wife, just being a woman in general. And we could preach a whole sermon, we could preach a whole series out of Proverbs 31. This morning, I just want to focus on a few things there that have to do with being a mother. But you moms, I'd like you to write this down. And you grandmothers can teach this to your daughters or can teach it to your grandchildren. But here's point number one. And here's the one thing that if you're going to be a mother, you've got to focus on these three areas. Number one, you've got to provide for the needs of your children. You've got to provide for the needs of your children. Now, that should be fairly obvious, but we live in a society today where it's not obvious. Where there's a whole lot of baby mamas out there that aren't providing for the needs of their children. And you need to understand, mom, that your job is to provide for the needs of your children. You're there in Proverbs 31. I'd like you to look down at verse number 14. Proverbs 31 and verse number 14. The Bible says this, she, referring to the virtuous woman, is like the merchant's ship. She bringeth her food from afar. She ariseth also while it is yet night. That's real early in the morning. And giveth meat to her household. The word meat there is referring to food. And a portion to her maidens. You're there in Proverbs 31. Look down at verse number 27. Proverbs 31 and verse 27. And by the way, all of this applies to dads. All of this applies to wives. I mean, you don't have to be a mother for this to apply to you just to be successful in life. Proverbs 31 and verse 27 says this. She looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. You see that word idleness there? Moms, you would do well to just draw an arrow to that word idol and write this word, Facebook. Write this word, YouTube. Write this, you say, are you against those? I'm not against those things, but I am against women that focus all their time on, you can write soap opera right next to that word. You can write daytime television right next to that word. You can write novels right next to that word. And by the way, I am against soap operas, and I am against novels. I am against those things. You know, can you find good preaching on YouTube? Of course you can. Can you get good things on Facebook? Of course you can. But mom, here's what you need to understand. Your primary goal is to wake up and make sure that your children's needs, we're talking about their physical needs, are being met. Don't ignore your children because you got to catch up on the 57 sermons of all the pastors that we're sending out in this movement. Don't ignore your children because you got to catch up on all the gossip on Facebook. Don't ignore your children because you got to catch up, you know, on all these other things that we put before our children. Hey, the Bible says that the virtuous woman giveth meat to her household. She bringeth her food from afar off. She looketh well to the ways of her household. You say, what do I got to do to be successful as a mother? Well, the first thing is you must meet the physical needs of your children. You must meet the needs of your children. But it's more than just the physical needs. You must also meet the child's emotional needs. Are there, you're there in Proverbs 31. Go to Proverbs chapter number 4. Proverbs chapter number 4. And by the way, these three things, none of it's going to be, you know, new to you. It's not like you're going to hear something and be like, whoa, I never knew that. All of this will be common sense. But there are three things that we must keep before us. It is the mother's job. It is the mother's job to provide for the needs of her children. You must provide for their physical needs. But you know, you must also provide for their emotional needs. Are you there in Proverbs 4? Look at verse 3. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 3. Notice what the Bible says. This is the writer of the book of Proverbs. Here's Solomon, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. He says, for I was my father's son. Notice what he says. Tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. Notice how he says, I was tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. Could your children say that of you, Mom? Is there anything that your children could look at and say, my mom loves me, but you know, she loves her career more than she loves me. She loves this about her life more than she loves me. And here's the thing, and you can say, well, you know, there's things, obviously, I can't just love one child more than I love the other if you got multiple children. Of course, that's true. But here's what you need to understand. Every child should feel like they're the only beloved of their mother. Every child should feel like if there's anyone that's on my side, if there's anyone that's focused on me, if there's anyone that's trying to help me succeed in life, it's Mom. Amen. See, you must meet the emotional needs of your children. Solomon said, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. And here's what you need to understand. If you've got children and if you've got young children, you know this. Children are God trying to help us grow in patience. You know that's true. It's easy to get frustrated with children. And look, this applies to fathers. In fact, the Bible specifically tells fathers, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. And the reason for that is because dads can get provoked to wrath, can get upset and provoke their own children to wrath as a result of their wrath. So look, children can test your limits sometimes. Children can cause you to lose your patience. We understand that. But Mom, remember that one of the descriptions that the Bible gives about a woman is that she is to live with a meek and quiet spirit. Amen. And make sure that your children are able to look at Mom and say, hey, you know what? My mom, obviously no one's perfect. Obviously we all get impatient from time to time. Obviously we're all short from time to time. But my mom was always tender with me. My mom always treated us with a meek and quiet spirit. She was tender and only beloved. I was only beloved in the sight of my mother. See, you must meet the emotional needs of your children. You're there in Proverbs 4. Go to Proverbs 29. Proverbs 29, look at verse 15. Proverbs 29 and verse 15. Proverbs 29 and verse 15. The threefold cord of motherhood. Three things that you must do. You must meet the needs of your children, both their physical and emotional needs. Proverbs 29 and verse 15 says this, the rod and reproof give wisdom. Don't miss this. But a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. A child left to himself. You know the prisons are full of men tonight that were children left to themselves? You know, I mean, go out here right on Norwood Avenue and you'll see a whole lot of drug addicts and you'll see a whole lot of homeless people that are there as a result of being in drugs, as a result of being in gangs, as a result of going down the wrong road in life. And one of the main reasons is because they were just a child left to themselves. It's because there wasn't a mom there that was there every day. There wasn't a mom. And I'm not saying mom didn't love that child. And listen to me. If you've got a child who's a drug addict, I'm not trying to make you feel bad or belittle you. I'm trying to help the next generation to come. And I'm just telling you, young moms, if you want to make sure that your children turn out right, you better make sure that they're not left to themselves. Amen. You better make sure that they're always have every day. They know they can wake up and count on mom being there. They're going to be there during the day. They're going to be there. Maybe your children are in public school. And obviously, I believe the best thing to do is to homeschool your children, but because of sin in people's lives, sometimes you don't have that opportunity. I get that, but make sure you're there. Today, we live in the society where we put our, you know, the kids go to the before school program, they're in school all day, they've got the after school program, they've got the program after that, and then by the time mom sees them, they just put them to bed. Right. And you say, well, they're all with these teachers and these people. That teacher's not mom. That teacher's not dad. That child is left to themselves. Amen. and it bringeth the mother to shame. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. You need to look, mom, listen to me, moms. And if you're here tonight or you're here this morning and you say, well, I've raised my children, maybe I made some mistakes. I'm not picking on you. But I'm trying to help the young moms in our church today, and help them to understand that your job is not, listen to me, mom. Your job is to be there for your children. And please don't take this the wrong way. Your job is not to read the Bible 50 times in a year. I think every mom ought to read her Bible every day. But if reading your Bible is causing you to neglect your children, you're reading your Bible too much. Amen. Your job is not to go soul winning every day. Now, I think every mom ought to go soul winning. But if going soul winning is causing you to neglect your children, you're going soul winning too much. Amen. We like to spiritualize these things and say, well, I'm serving the Lord. We're never commanded. Look, Pastor Jimenez is not commanded to neglect his wife and neglect his children under the guise of serving the Lord. Children need a mom. Children need a mom that is connected, that is meeting their spiritual needs, that is meeting their physical needs, that is meeting their emotional needs. And today we have a culture, and it's not new. There's no new thing under the sun. In fact, let's look at it in the Bible. Go to the book of Job. You're there in Proverbs. You're going to go backwards past the book of Psalms into the book of Job. Job 39 in verse number 13. And by the way, you moms, I want to encourage you. If you can, I understand maybe you're a single mom here this morning and you don't have a choice. You have to go to work. I get that. But if you can, God's will for your life is that you be a stay-at-home mom. So you can make sure that you are there for your children. Job 39 and verse 13. Job 39 and verse 13. Job 39 describes a lot of mothers today. Job 39 and verse 13 says this, gavest thou the godly wings unto the peacock, or wings and feathers unto the ostrich? Which, notice what it says, leaveth her eggs in the earth, and warmeth them in the dust. Leaveth her eggs in daycare. Leaveth her eggs in the public school. Notice verse 15, and forgetteth that the foot may crush them, or that the wild beast may break them. She is hardened against her young ones, as though they were not hers. Her labor is in vain without fear, because God hath deprived her of her wisdom, neither hath he imparted to her understanding. And please listen to me, moms. Your primary job is to make sure that you are meeting the needs of your child, both physically and emotionally. And I think it's great for moms to be spiritual. I think it's great. Look, our family is going to be going on this Mexico mission trip in July. We're, Lord willing, our entire family is going to be going to a mission trip. We're planning in the Philippines next year. I'm all for that. I think that's great. But you think there's no way that my wife and I would just get on a plane and leave our children for a week to go be missionaries in the Philippines and leave our children behind. Well, you're going to go get all these Filipinos, say, hey, look, our children are our primary ministry. Now, look, bring them with us. We'll bring them with us, but don't leave them behind. Your job is to meet. Your job is to meet the emotional needs of your children. We got moms that are taking their children on mission trips. I think that's great. I think that's wonderful. But you must meet their needs. Go to Titus. Go back to Titus, chapter number 2, if you kept your place there. Keep your place in Proverbs. Because we're going to go back and forth from Proverbs and Titus. Titus chapter number 2, look at verse 4. Titus chapter number 2 and verse 4. Titus chapter 2 and verse 4. The biblical pattern for motherhood is to stay at home. I know that's not popular today. I know that's not what our society believes. In fact, women have been brainwashed into thinking that if all they do is stay at home, then for some reason they're not as good or as equal as women that have a career. Listen to me, the most important thing that a mother could do is devote her life to her children. Amen. The most important thing that you could do is to spend your days ministering to your children. Titus chapter 2, verse 4, that they may teach the young women to be sober. Remember the aged women were supposed to teach the younger women. What were they supposed to teach them? To be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste. Don't miss this. Keepers at home. Keepers at home. What does that mean? A homekeeper, a homemaker. Keepers at home, good, obedient to their husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. Go to the book of 1 Timothy. You're there in Titus. Just go backwards past 2 Timothy into 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse number 14. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 14. Notice what the Apostle Paul says. He says, I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children. Don't miss these three words. Guide the house. Give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. What do we need in America today? I'll tell you exactly what we need. And listen to me. We talk a lot about, you know, the fundamental Baptist movement wants to talk a lot about revival, and we need revival. And look, I'm all for revival. The revival is a biblical word. But you know what will bring revival? If we can get the moms out of the workplace and back at home, raising their children, loving their children, teaching their children, and making sure that's what will bring revival, is if we can ensure that the next generation is actually taught by mom and not a public school teacher. Actually taught by mom and not a daycare worker. And listen to me, I understand what I'm saying today is not popular, but it's what the Bible says. Amen. And your job, mom, your job is to provide for the needs of your children, both physically and emotionally. What does that look like? In some ways, it looks like as a stay-at-home mom. Now, here's what I believe. If you're in a position where you can't do that, you'd love to do that, but you're not able to, your husband left you, you're just in a position where you got to go to work. Look, we're not against you. We want to come alongside and try to help you in any way that we can. And I believe that God will try to help you. You just get those kids in the Word of God. You get them under a good man of God that can help them and teach them and train them. And I think your kids will be all right if you do the best you can. But if you're just, you know, well, you know, I got to send my wife to work because we got to go to our yearly Disney World trip. That's ridiculous. You know, we got to go to our yearly cruise. I mean, how many times, I think I said this before, how many times do you have to go to Disneyland before it's like the same thing, you know? I mean, how many times do you have to see Mickey Mouse? It's like, well, if my wife quit working, we'd have to live in a smaller house. That might be good for you. Right. We might have to get rid of a vehicle. It'd be good to walk. It'd be good to live. Well, we couldn't live in the nice neighborhood we live right now. Then come live in my neighborhood, but raise your kids right. Live with them. Be with them. Make sure you're there in the morning and in the evening and in the afternoon, and you're with them. Your job is to be with your children. A child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. What do you need to do for your children? What's the threefold cord? Well, number one, you must provide for the needs of your children. You must provide for their emotional needs and their physical needs. But number two, you must prepare them for their future. Prepare them for their future. Did you keep your place there in Proverbs 29:15? Proverbs 29:15, you must prepare your children for their future. Now, what does that look like? There's two steps to preparing your children for the future. One is correcting them and one is training them. Proverbs 29 and verse 15, notice what the Bible says. The rod and reprove give wisdom. Notice what it doesn't say. It doesn't say timeouts give wisdom. It doesn't say yelling at your children gives wisdom. It doesn't say counting to 10 backwards slowly. Now, Bobby, you stop that right now. Bobby, don't slap your mother in the face, Bobby. I'm going to give you 10 sec. Bob, if you do it one more time. Oh, one more time after that. That's not what it says. It says the rod and reproof give wisdom. You know what that's talking about? That's talking about a good old-fashioned spanking. You know, we'd do well if we just got back to the way America used to be, when mom stayed home and children got spanked. And we're not talking about beating your children. We're not talking about hitting them in the face. We're not talking about a fist. We're talking about taking that child, pulling down their skirt or their pants. You know that God gave children an area in their body that is extra padded and has a whole lot of nerves? That you could spank that child? Listen to me. Today, we've got moms who refuse to discipline their children. I'm talking about in the independent, fundamental Baptist, temperamental, King James only movement. Who? You wait till your dad gets home. No, mom, you spank the child. Right. The rod and reproof giveth wisdom, but a child left to himself. It doesn't say, bringeth his father to shame. It says, bringeth his mother to shame. Right. It's your job to discipline. It's your job to spank them. And look, it's easier to yell, isn't it? It's easier to yell at them. It's easier to throw things at them. I don't think you should do that. Some of you do. And look, I'm not for it, because people take this to an extreme. I'm not for it. Listen to me very carefully. And if you're a parent at Verity Baptist Church, please understand this. Don't ever come up to me and try to tell me about anything more than just a regular spanking where you take your child, you put them on your lap, you pull down their pants or their skirt on their bottom, and you spank them. There's no other place you should be spanking your children. Maybe their thigh, that's got some meat on it. You should not be hitting them on the face, in the stomach, anywhere else. That's ridiculous. And that kind of stupidity makes this type of preaching look bad. Where all these people end up having CPS call on them because you got parents doing. Look, make sure you are spanking your children properly, but make sure you're spanking your children. Make sure you're actually doing it. Make sure you are actually correcting them. That's part of the training. See, you got all these children today that are not being, they're not being spanked. They're not learning to respect authority. And then you got some police officer with their club. And look, whatever you think about cops, is you got to deal with them. And mom, you don't want to administer the spanking, but that the police officer is going to when that child's 18. When that child's 20. When that child's 25 and he's a rebellious punk because he never had a mom or a dad discipline them properly. You must prepare your children by correcting them. But look, it's more than just that. You must prepare your children by training them. Are you there in Proverbs 29? Go to Proverbs 22. Proverbs 22. Look at verse 6. Proverbs 22. And verse 6. Proverbs 22 and verse 6. Notice what the Bible says. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. The Bible says that your job is to train. Proverbs 31 and verse 1 says this. Proverbs 31, look at it. The words of King Lemuel. This is the famous Proverbs 31, virtuous woman. The words of King Lemuel. The prophecy that his mother taught him. Notice it's mom teaching. You don't have to turn there. Proverbs 6:20 says, my son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. Proverbs 1:8 says, my son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. The Bible teaches that it is the job of a mother to teach, to instruct, to give their children the law. Go to the book of Genesis. I want to show you something just real quickly. Genesis chapter 24. Genesis, first book in the Bible, should be fairly easy to find. Genesis chapter 24 and verse 6. We talked about the fact that you must provide for the needs of your family, of your children. That's their physical needs and their emotional needs. That can be best done, I believe, and scripturally speaking, by being a stay-at-home mom. But secondly, you must prepare your children for their future. And what are we talking about? We're talking about strategic motherhood. Say, what do you mean by that? Let me show you what I mean by that. Genesis 24, look at verse 6. Genesis 24 and verse 6. And they blessed Rebekah and said unto her, this is Rebekah, she's getting ready to go get married, and her family's given her a blessing. And they said unto her, thou art our sister, be thou the mother of, don't miss this number, thousands of millions. I think that was a big family. And we like to focus on that, of course, and that's great. But I want you to notice the other statement they said. And let thy seed, that's talking about her children, let thy seed possess the gates of those which hate them. Isn't that interesting? When they blessed Rebekah, they said, hey, part of the blessing is we want your seed, your children, to possess the gates. Okay, the gates is the fence around a city. It's the defense system around a city. We want them to possess the gate, not of their own city, but of their enemies, of those who hate them. And it's interesting, there's a theme like this throughout the scriptures. You're there in Genesis, go to the book of Psalms, Psalm 127. Psalm 127, if you kept your place in Proverbs, right before the book of Proverbs, you've got the book of Psalms, Psalm 127. Look at verse 3, Psalm 127, again, talking about children. Notice what it says, Psalm 127 and verse 3, the Bible says this, lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hands of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Here's what he's saying, children are like an arrow. What do you do with an arrow? You shoot it. At what? At a target. He says, your children are like an arrow that you're trying to get to a certain target. What's the target? Notice verse 5. Happy is the man that had his quiver full of them. By the way, again, He's telling you, have as many children as you can. Have a quiver full of them. I hope your seed has, you know, thousands of millions, is what they told Rebekah. Happy is the man that had his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed. But they, notice, but they, who's the they there? That's the children. But they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Do you see that? Rebekah was told, hey, your children, we hope that your seed will possess the gates of those which hate them. Here in Psalm 127, we're told, hey, your children shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Go to Proverbs 31 and verse number 31. Proverbs 31 and verse 31. You got the virtuous woman again. Remember the virtuous woman? Notice what it says at the end of the chapter. Proverbs 31 and verse 31. Give her of the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her. Where? In the gates. Who's her work? Her children. What are you talking? You said, what does this have to do? Here's what it's talking about. In the Bible, there's this concept that moms were strategic moms. Meaning they had children and they had a goal. My goal is not for my children to be a loser. My goal is not for my children to be a derelict. My goal is not for my children to be a drunkard. They said, my goal, before I even had children, Rebekah understood that the goal is to raise children that can fight, that can be that valiant soul winner, that can speak with the enemies in the gate, that can possess the gate of the enemies. You know what the goal of Pastor Jimenez is? The goal of Pastor Jimenez is that my children will one day grow up and be able to fight the forces of the evil wickedness of this world. That they'll be so spiritually sound and understand doctrine and be valiant and be in the Spirit and walk in the Spirit. You know, whether they pastor or not, my boys, whether they pastor or not, I could care less whether they pastor or not. I just want them to serve the Lord. If they want a pastor, praise the Lord. I'll try to help them that way. But you know what I want for them? I want them to possess the gates of their enemies. Amen. I want the works. And ladies, don't get caught up with this idea. You watch, you know, people like Brother Tyler Baker doing all these great exploits and soul winning and this and that. You watch Pastor Jimenez, you know, going to the soul winning marathons and leading the soul winning marathons and doing the soul winning seminars or whatever. You watch Pastor Anderson do those things, and women can get into this idea. Well, all I'm doing is I'm, you know, just got these children at home. Hey, those children are the future of the next soul winners. Amen. You know, think about this. And I'm not trying to be down on anybody. But think about this. How many of you men have 5 converts that you got saved, you discipled in the Lord, and are active soul winners today? How many do you have? And most of us would probably say none. Not 5. Maybe 1, maybe 2. You know how my wife will have 5 by the time it's all said and done? And if God bless us with 6 or 7 or 8, she'll have 6 or 7 or 8. Right. Don't belittle that. Right. Don't belittle that. Like, you only go soul winning once a week. Hey, she's training 5 soul winners all week long. Amen. What are you talking about? Her works will praise her in the gate. Our seed will speak with the enemies in the gate, and they'll possess the gates of the enemies. Amen. That's the goal. It's strategic. It's looking at your children and saying, these children are like a weapon. They're like an arrow that we're going to shoot to hit a target. Amen. But you moms, here's a question I have for you. What's your target for your children? What are you trying to accomplish with them? Are you just kind of waiting till they're 18 and they can leave the house? That's not much of a target. And by the way, Harvard is not much of a target either. Well, my goal is my children, they're going to grow up. And that's stupid. Money, raising your children to love money is stupid. Raise them to love the Lord. Raise them to love the Word of God. Raise them to be godly young men and young women that will possess the gates of their enemies. That's the goal. You must prepare your children for their future. You must correct and train them. And by the way, mom, your job is to teach your children. Today, you've got so many women that they don't want to teach their children. They want to ship them off and let somebody else teach them. Your job is to instruct them. The Bible says that over and over and over and over again. That's your job. Prepare them for the future. Provide for their needs. We need stay-at-home moms. But you know what we also need is we need strategic moms. We've got a plan. We say, here's my goal. Here's my choice. I got 5 arrows right now. I'm pointing them in that direction, God. I'm pointing them in this direction, the Word of God. I'm pointing them in the direction of living for God, of loving God. You must prepare for their future. Let me give you the third one. You're there in Proverbs 31. Go to Go to Proverbs 22. Go back to Proverbs 22. I said, number one, you must provide for their needs. I said, number two, you must prepare them for their futures. But number three, you must promote spirituality in their lives. Mom, your job is to promote spiritual things in the lives of your children. Notice what it says in Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way. Notice these three words. He should go. Train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. David wrote these words in Psalm. You don't have to turn there. He said, the lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. You know, the most powerful way to transfer spirituality is to inherit it. I was thinking about this morning as I was reviewing my sermon. What, you know, and it's not, look, it's not that there's no better way or other way, but in our flesh, we like to promote the testimony. You know, we like the testimony where the guy gets up and he's like, you know, I was a drunk and I was a drug addict and I, you know, got saved and I got out of that wicked sin and I'm serving the Lord. Now, look, and I'm thankful for all those testimonies. Praise the Lord for them. But you know what a better testimony is? The lines are fallen unto me in goodly places. Amen. You know what a better testimony is? I never had to go down that road. I had a mom and dad that taught me the things of God. Amen. You know what the better testimony is? I don't have scars. I don't have the baggage. I don't have to go through all that. I had a mom that taught me. Listen, mom, your job, when do you sit down and teach your children? Hey, kids, your friends, if you choose the wrong friends, they'll direct you down the wrong road. Amen. When do you teach your children that? Hey, children, like the virtuous woman, you teach them about drinking, and you teach them about finances, and you teach them about being pure, and you teach them about not fornicating, and you teach them about working hard and having integrity. Mom, that's your job, to train your children, to prepare them for adulthood. It's your job. It's your job. The lions are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yeah, I have a goodly heritage. One of the greatest men in the Bible, the book of Psalms, David, who wrote most of the book of Psalms, a man after God's own heart, said, hey, I was given a goodly heritage. Go to 2 Timothy, chapter number 1. If you kept your place in the book of Titus or 2 Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 1, look at verse 5. 2 Timothy 1, 5. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. The Apostle Paul said this, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, referring to Timothy. But then notice what he says, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. You know what we need? We need stay-at-home moms. You know what we need? We need strategic moms who have a goal and a purpose, something they're trying to accomplish with their children. But you know what we also need? We need spiritual moms. Mom, when do your children see you pray? When do your children see you, Mom, open up the Bible and read the Word of God with them? When do your children memorize Scripture with you, Mom? Oh, they do it at church. Yeah, but when do they do it with you at home? It's interesting that there's no mention here of dad. And look, I believe that we need dads. I believe that we need fathers to take their place. And Father's Day is coming up, and we'll preach to the fathers at that point. But listen to me. You know that even with dad out of the picture, when you've got a mom who loves the Lord, hey, that's all that child needs. Amen. It's just a mom who says, hey, I'm going to teach you, and I'm going to make sure if you don't inherit wealth, if you don't inherit anything from me, I'm going to make sure you inherit spirituality, a love for God. The things of God. He said, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice. And I am persuaded that in thee also. What's the threefold cord of motherhood? Go to Titus. You're there in 2 Timothy. Just the next book over, Titus. Titus chapter 2 is where we started. That's where we'll end. Titus chapter 2. What's the threefold cord of motherhood? What are the three things that if everything else goes out the window, if everything else is not accomplished, the three things that you can do that you've just got to tell yourself, these are the three things I've got to do every day to be able to accomplish the things that I need to accomplish for God. What are those three things? Number one, provide for your children's needs, physically and emotionally. You've got to provide for their needs. You've got to provide for their emotional needs. You've got to be there for them. We need those stay-at-home moms. You must prepare them for their future. You got to be that strategic mother that has a goal of what you want to accomplish. Look, one of my goals as a parent and my wife as a parent is that our children are pure on the day of their wedding. We have that as a goal. One of our goals is that our children are saved and baptized and growing in the Lord. We want to disciple them and help them. We have a goal that our children, by the time that they're able to leave our house, that they're able to provide for themselves. That they've learned how to work hard and they're smart enough to learn something and be able to go out into the workforce and make things happen if they need to and one day provide, that our boys will be able to provide for their wives. I'm saying those are our goals. What's your goal? Do you have a goal? And you must promote spiritual things. We need spiritual mothers who will transfer spirituality. Now in Titus chapter 2, it says this, and look at it again. The aged women. You older women. You know, you grandmother Loises, you know what we need? We need you to mentor the younger women. You older women, we need you to come alongside the younger women and encourage them. And help them. And you may say, well, I didn't do it all right. But listen to me. You could still be a blessing by saying, hey, listen, honey. Listen, sweetheart. I wish I would have stayed home. I didn't. I wish I would have. Let me encourage you. Why don't you stay home with your children? You know, that's powerful. You say, well, I didn't do it all right. Well, then don't hide that. Just say, hey, look. I wish I would have gone to church. Don't get mad at pastor when he's telling you X, Y, and Z. I wish I could have done that. And you will too. We need the older women, the elder women, the aged women to get on board and help mentor the younger women. And he says the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness. Please, older women, please, aged women. Maybe you already know. You got saved later on in life. You didn't hear any of those things that we're talking about. Don't cast doubt on it just because you didn't do it.
Well, I know pastor said that you got, but you know what? I got my degree. I was the president of my company. Don't do that to these moms.
Come alongside and help them. Come alongside and encourage them. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given too much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women. And by the way, you younger women, you would do well to listen to some of the older women. Don't always be the one that's got all the answers. Maybe just find someone who's just a little bit ahead of you and learn from them. Everybody can serve as an example. I mean, even if they're a bad example, they can serve as an example. That they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. But here's the thing, and here's what I want you to understand. You young moms and you aged moms, don't see, we need the grandmother Lois and we need the mama Eunice. But please, both moms, do not disqualify yourselves from being mentors. Because there are a couple of qualifications here from being a mentor. Look at verse 3. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness. Now he's going to explain to us what that means. What does it mean to be in behavior as becometh holiness? Notice what he says. Not false accusers, not given too much wine, teachers of good things. Don't disqualify yourself from being a mentor by saying, I'm not going to teach my children anything. I'll have somebody else teach them. Well, you just disqualified yourself from being a woman that can mentor in the future. Because you're supposed to be a teacher of good things. He says, not given too much wine. Don't let that scare you. People look at that and say, see, it says not given too much wine, so therefore I can drink socially. Look, the Bible says wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. The Bible says, look not thou upon the wine. The Bible is very clear about wine, and I'm not preaching about that this morning, and alcohol, and it can destroy your life. I just want you to understand this. When it says too much wine, the idea there, the way that those words are translated in different places in our King James Bible, here's what he's saying. He's saying the equivalent of this. Don't be a drunk. Right. Now look, if I said to someone, don't be a drunk, if I said to someone, don't be a drug addict, does that mean I condone of what, you know, you can do drugs in a social aspect, you know. You can do drugs in moderation. Look, just because he says don't be a drunk, don't be a drug addict, doesn't mean he's saying, but you can do it, you know, in moderation. Okay, so just don't let that scare you. Because the Bible talks a lot, and please understand this. There's two big differences between being drinking in moderation and being a drunk. Both are sins. But they are two different things. You know that the Bible commands me as a pastor to kick drunks out of church. But it doesn't command me to drink people who to kick people out of church just because they drink socially. Now, is it still a sin? It is a sin. But that's why he puts them in those two categories. He's saying, like, look, not giving too much wine. Okay, but then he says this, not false accusers. Not false accusers. And you know, and look, I'm not trying to offend you. It's just my job is to preach the Bible. You know, the Bible talks a lot about women in regards to gossiping and in regards about spreading rumors and lies. Here he's telling the aged women, he's telling the women, you want to be a mentor? You want to be the type of mom that other women can look at and say, she did it right. You want to put yourself in that position? Hey, make sure that you are not a false accuser. The same words, false accuser, are translated in 1 Timothy 3:11 as this, even so must their wives be grave. Talking about the wife of a deacon, not slanderers, sober, faithful in all things. 1 Timothy 5:13, ladies, please listen to me right now. 1 Timothy 5:13 says this, and withal they learn to be idle. Is that a good word or a bad word? Wandering about from house to house, but not only to idle, but tattlers also, and busybodies, speaking things which they are not. The Bible teaches against women who slander people, who gossip about people, who give false accusations. The Bible says it ought not be done. Proverbs 6:16 says this, these six things does the Lord hate. Yea, seven are abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that devises wicked imaginations, feet that be swift and running to mischief. Don't miss this. You got to write this down if you're a lady. Proverbs 6:19, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. And the reason that those two are connected, because they are usually connected. Someone who's a false witness that speaketh lies is usually someone who's sowing discord among the brethren. And please understand this. The Bible teaches against this. And you ladies, look, listen to me very carefully because I want to deal with this. There's nothing wrong. I recently had a man come to me and he did exactly what he was supposed to do. He came to me and said, Pastor, can I speak to you privately? We went somewhere private. He said, look, I'm not falsely accusing anybody. I just want you to know, you know, there was this one situation. I just want you to be aware of it, you know. And I said, man, thank you. I appreciate you telling me that. And it was nothing that for me to even take a move on. It's just something for me to kind of put in the back of my mind to keep a watch out for, to make sure that things are okay. Hey, that's proper. It's proper to do that. You've got a concern about something, come to me. You've got a concern about something, ladies, go to my wife. Bring it to us in the right spirit. But when you cross the line, of falsely accusing somebody, you're saying, did you know so-and-so is a pedophile? And you've got no evidence for that? That's ridiculous. That is being a false accuser with no evidence. And you say, why does this make you mad? You know why it makes me mad when people do it to other people? Because this is notoriously done to pastors. I know so many pastors that have had their ministries ruined because some woman that can't control her tongue is spreading lies. And, well, you know, pastors, did you know that pastor's committing adultery? And it's like, whoa, how do you know that? And it's like, well, sister said that they think that he might have kind of, that's ridiculous. And by the way, did you know that we can kick you out of church for doing that? 1 Corinthians 5:11, but now I have written unto you not to keep company. If any man that is called a brother be a fornicator. We like that one because none of us are fornicating, right? Or covetous, that's one. Or idolater, that's one. Or a railer. You know what a railer is? Someone who's speaking abusively, uttering bitter complaints. Someone who's making accusations with no evidence. Now look, you have a concern, bring it to us. And if you've got evidence, bring it to us. Look, you know of a person in our church and you're like, Pastor, I saw him on the website. He has a blue dot. He's a pedophile. Bring that evidence to me. But why are there people spreading lies and they're not bringing any evidence to us? That's false accusations. I'm not going to allow that in our church. You women need to learn how to hold your tongues and not be false accusers. Don't spread innuendos. Well, I think I might. You've got a concern, bring it to me. You've got a concern, bring it to my wife. You got no evidence, shut your mouth. That's a false accusation. You can ruin someone's life like that. To go around saying, oh, well, I think so-and-so is a closet homosexual. How do you know that? Well, I just kind of think. look, you've got a concern. Bring it to, I'm not preaching against people who say, Pastor, I've got a concern. Here you go. I've had many people do that. I think that's great. I want to be kept in the loop. But don't let me hear that you're going around telling people, oh, did you know so-and-so is committing adultery on his wife? If you know that, if you've got evidence for that, bring it to me. Otherwise, shut your mouth. That you are a railer. You are a false accuser. You are a slanderer. And it's wrong to ruin people's lives like that. The Bible says to do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. Do you want somebody to do that to you? Well, you know, I think brother so-and-so is a drug addict. You got any evidence for that? Nope, I just think that. Well, that's ridiculous. And by the way, moms, you ought to teach your children not to do that. You ought to teach your children not to bring false accusations against people. That's one of the being disqualified, not only of church attendance, but of being someone who can train mothers. Look, you moms, we need you in the fight. We need you to be here to train your own children and to train other mothers in the future, to be that aged mother that can mentor future mothers. But you will disqualify yourself from that when you're given too much wine, when you're a false accuser, when you're not a teacher of good things. Those are the qualifications. The Bible says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying. And you better be careful. And again, here's a problem with preaching against gossips. They always get the story wrong. You know, so they're going to go and tell all their friends, Pastor said pedophiles are allowed in church. I never said that. Okay, listen to me very carefully. You got a concern, bring it to me. I love that. I think that's great. People come to me all the time and say, hey, I saw this. I don't know if there's anything bad there. I just want you to know, Pastor. Hey, I'll shake your head. I appreciate you telling me that. I'll keep an eye out for that. I didn't know. And there's been times when we've changed things and done things, opened up rooms or whatever, because there's things that are going on that there's nothing bad. It's just, you know, it could lead to something bad. There's nothing wrong with that. But when you cross the line of just accusing someone of doing something wrong, you've crossed the line. You should not be doing that with no evidence. That's very clearly taught throughout Scripture. And we need you moms. We need you in the fight. We need you to be temperate. We need you to be discreet and chaste. These are all words used for mothers. And look, we're going to lose the battle without you. We're losing the battle because there's a lack of mothers who are using the threefold method. They're lacking somewhere. You got to provide for their needs. You got to prepare them for the future. You got to promote spiritual things. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for the Bible. Lord, I realize that there is such an attack on motherhood today. There are just so many stupid beliefs and doctrines out there being promoted to moms that we got to combat them. We've got to take the word of God and show moms, explain to moms, look, this is what God expects of you. This is how you deal with problems. This behavior is not acceptable, or this behavior is acceptable. And Father, I pray you'd help us. I pray that you'd help us. Lord, if there's a mother here today who heard something, man, I'm doing that wrong. In that aspect, in that point, in that place, I'm not exactly doing what I need to be doing. I pray, Lord, that you would help them to be humble enough to receive that and to correct it. Not because of me, but for the sake of their own children. And Lord, I pray for the aged women that they would encourage these young moms. It's hard. It's hard when you got 2, 3, 1, 5, and they're little. Some of these moms are struggling. They're struggling themselves with having all these expectations on themselves. And Father, I pray you'd help them. I pray you'd bless them. I pray you'd be with them. In your precious name, I pray. Amen.